morning, 741 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. A lot of big interviews we're having this morning. Rick Scott is a former governor and now the United States Senator from the great state of Florida. Senator Scott, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
It is always great to speak with you, and I hope you're doing well.
Oh, yeah. No, we're doing great. And I still, every day, have to, every time we talk, I have to fight saying governor. Every time I almost call you governor.
Oh, I know.
It's just, you know, that's the way it is. So,
yeah, that was a good job.
It's only been 2 weeks. It's crazy. It's only been 2 weeks since the election, a decisive win for President Trump. And you were very close to becoming the Senate Majority Leader. We were rooting for you to become from the state of Florida. We were so excited about that prospect, but it didn't turn out. Nevertheless, still major player in the Senate and lots of things afoot, including confirming nominees from the president, right?
Well, if you think about what we got to get done, Trump won, right? Trump has a mandate. Well, the problem you have is that when he won the first time back in 16, they still walked off his nominees. It was impossible for him to get his nominees confirmed. And so part of what I talked about when I ran to be majority leader is we're going to get Trump's nominees done. He's the president of the United States. And so one of the things we can do is if things are, if the Democrats block them, we can allow the president to do them by going on recess for 2 weeks. And I think we ought to do it. So I like his nominees. I'm excited for so many Floridians that have been nominated. Matt Gaetz, Mike Waltz, Marco Rubio. I'm excited. He's putting together a great team of people. I think, if you look at it, he's going to upset the apple cart, meaning we're going to start holding government accountable, which is exactly what you voted for.
You know, obviously each of these nominees has their own pluses and minuses. I wanted to start with Matt only because obviously was our congressman and of course, representative from this area for a long time in the state house. He's the one I think a lot of people look at as very difficult to get passed through the Senate, not just because of Democratic opposition, but Republican opposition. And then the question, as you mentioned, it is, what do you do if he gets blocked? Do you try to put him in as a recess appointment or a temporary or whatever? Do you believe that the Senate has enough Republican votes to actually get him 51?
Well, let's see where this president is. This president has been slandered, indicted, convicted, all because this radical Merrick Garland and what the FBI has done. He needs him, so he's going to fight for him. I've known Matt since I started running for governor back in 2010. Matt's a fighter. He's smart. He has the president's back. He'll hold the Department of Justice accountable. So my experience with Matt has been very positive. So I hope he gets confirmed because I know the president needs somebody like Matt to run the Department of Justice. Because look at what's been. It's been something that has just been used as lawfare against Donald Trump to try to prevent him from becoming president.
So, not to follow up, but it sounds like you're unsure about 51. I mean, I know Matt's a fighter, and I know Susie Wiles is smart.
I think he'll get confirmed.
Okay.
I mean the guy. Matt. There's a lot of people who don't know Matt. Right in the Senate. So I know him and I tell people, look, my experience with Matt has been very positive. It was great to work with when he was in the Florida House when I was governor. He's been great to work with since he's been in Congress and I've been the U.S. Senator. So, my experience with Matt has been great.
Yeah, and I say the same.
I tell people, everybody I talk to.
Yeah, and I mean, I would say the same thing. I, very positive perception of Matt Gaetz. I've, spoken with him hundreds of times and, have great respect for him. Okay, so that's one. The two of the other ones that have really gotten a lot of attention. Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense. This is the one that has given me the most heartburn because I don't understand it. He doesn't seem qualified at that level for that kind of responsibility. Can you explain this one to me or can you help me with this one?
So I've known Pete a long time. We have got to change the military. We have got to stop having a woke military. We've got to stop think about the last war. We've got to have somebody that's going to come and change things. As we know, we've not gotten in a better position with our military in the last 4 years. We've gotten a worse position. So here's what I know about Pete. He's smart. He's a hard worker. He served. And so he'll go in there and he'll upset the apple cart. He'll start asking questions like, are we ready to defend ourselves against China? Are we ready to help our allies like Taiwan and the Philippines? Are we ready to help our ally Israel? So I think Pete is qualified, smart, and he will go start asking questions. If we do the same old thing, we'll get the same old result. You know, I build companies, and you know, I start companies from scratch, and people say, "Well, you can't build anything. You don't know this industry." I built the largest hospital company from scratch. I never run a hospital. I built manufacturing companies. I've never run a manufacturing plant. What I was able to do is I was able to come in with a new outlook on things and say, what would I do if I started this from scratch? How would you build this industry? How would you build this company? And I think that's what Pete's going to do with the Department of Defense. It needs it. They can't even do an audit. So we get the exact same people. I mean, they have not. They cannot even audit the Department of Defense.
Right. Well, we could have had Secretary of Defense Rick Scott. I mean, it sounds like that would have been. I mean, I was actually pulling
for my job as senator.
I know you do. I was thinking Mike Waltz because of his level of experience too. But of course, he's going to be the National Security Advisor. We're talking to Senator Rick Scott.
He's going to do great.
Yeah, no, I think I'd love him for National Security Advisor.
And you know what's nice? I know these guys, and so I'm excited for them because I know they want to serve. I know they want to do a good job. I've known Marco since I started running back in 2010.
Great pick
for him.
He's a great pick for Secretary of State. He was built for Secretary of State.
Yeah. I'm excited for him.
Hey, Senator, hang on for me for just a second. I do need to go real quick traffic check. Do we have any big things we need to tell people about?
Real quick, we're looking at I-10 eastbound at Pine Forest. Slow down there. North 9th Avenue at East Olive Road, we have a crash with roadblock. And in Pace, westbound on Highway 90, we have a collision at Spencer Field Road. Other than that, we're looking great. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker.
Great, Jake. Thanks so much. Back to Senator Rick Scott. Senator, the person who's going to fill Marco Rubio's seat, I think you've been pulling for Laura Trump, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think that's who the governor's going to appoint?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, she's still the qualified. You watch what she just – I met her before I met her husband, Eric. So she worked at E-Networks before that. She's a hard worker. She's smart. Look at what she did at the RNC as co-chairman. I don't know what the exact title is, but she did a great job. I think she'll do a great job. I'm all in for Laura Trump.
The turn into kind of local questions, because obviously this is really relevant here locally, is, you know, what's going to happen to Matt Gaetz's congressional seat. We just had Representative Michelle Salzman on, who, of course, I know you know. Jimmy Patronis, CFO, has now said, apparently, and I mean, it's everybody's kind of like almost, she's definitely in. He sounds like he's in. He carries a pretty big war chest. We thought he was going to run for governor. It sounds like he's now going to run for Congress. Do you plan to endorse anybody in this race?
I was waiting for you, Andrew. What are you planning on running?
Oh, no, sir. Oh, no, sir.
Don't even.
I don't endorse local races.
I'm holding out, waiting to see if you're going to run. I'm going to say my endorsement to see what you're going to do.
That's adorable. No, absolutely no. Also, I'm unelectable. I did want to ask you something that's been a local issue here that I know is just everybody in the country, I'm sure, deals with this. We have a local, you know, with CSX, the rail company, because of longstanding, very powerful, robust, you know, indifference to anything, they have these federal protections. They close down these crossings, and we just have to suffer through it for a day or two. Now, it's only a day or two, but it's really bad for a day or two, and there's very little communication, very little warning. It just kind of happens to us. Is there anything that this happened 8 years ago, it's going to happen again in 8 years. Is there anything that can be done at the federal level to make this better?
Let me find out. I didn't know anything about it. So let me find out, and what I'll do is I'll work on getting the right person from CSX to give you a call.
Okay.
Maybe he'll go on.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, I'd love to talk to him, or if there's any kind of a change in the legislation surrounding their rights and privileges. It happens, and it's horrible, yeah. And then, you know, it feels like we all feel like we suffer from
Andrew,
it. There's nothing to do.
I think how this happened, because I learned it while I was governor, is, you know who was here first? The railroads.
Yeah.
So they got the government back then gave them a lot of rights because they were first. I've dealt with it a lot with regard to bright line up on the East Coast. So, but let me find out. I'll reach out to CSX.
Yeah, I agree. Their roads were here first. We're crossing their roads. I get it. It's annoying, but it's just true.
I know. That's what it is. They have the right.
Yeah,
it's your road that's crossing their train tracks.
Right, right. They were here
so
first.
Different what we think, how we think now.
I did want to ask you, only because it came up in the last day, to return to the nominations for a second. Linda McMahon for Secretary of Education. I read this as, and you tell me if I'm wrong, President Trump, ever since, you know, Reagan, we've been promising to shutter the Department of Education, which I agree with. I don't think it has a role either constitutionally or practically. Linda McMahon, to me, looks like the person he's hired to turn the lights off. Am I wrong?
I hope so. I know Linda. She's a good friend. I talked to her last night after it was announced. I talked to Linda quite a bit. I hope that's what happened. That's exactly what I believe. I believe we ought to... there's no reason we have a federal Department of Education. We ought to leave it to the states. As governor, let me compete. I'll show you we'll have the best education system. So everybody that wants their kids to do well will move to Florida.
You know, the one thing that I think you can look at is that, you know, weirdly, until 1979, we managed to educate children without a Department of Education. Isn't that interesting? For, you know, so long we managed
to... There's a lot of federal government we don't need, and we ought to let the states make decisions. You know? Yeah. If we don't, why do we have governors? Why do we have mayors?
Right.
I mean, if everything's going to make
school boards, why do we have school boards?
Level, why do we have them?
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Hey, yes, they're going to make them all.
One last thing, because I know you have a lot of opportunity to do things in the Senate, is if there is any way, and I know states control elections, but, you know, Florida, for being the, you know, the unlovable stepchild of 2000, has become the example of how to do elections. And we still have these ridiculous, slow reporting states like Arizona and New Mexico and other places as well. Is there anything that can be done to, even if it just means, you know, sending Governor DeSantis around in 2 years to fix all the elections, or our Secretary of Election, or something? It seems like there should be a way to make this better and more standardized.
Yeah, I know constitutional elections are done at the state level. It's hard. If you start going down that path, then what else do you take over? I think what we got to do is we just have to understand that when we have elections and it's part of why we elect people, and then we expect them to approve the election laws once they're elected. So I think, you know, by just talking about who's the best at things, I think hopefully some of these states will get better.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I certainly hope that as well. Senator Rick Scott, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much for the work you're doing. Again, I wish you'd have gotten majority leader. You didn't, but, you know, there's always couple of years. And in the meantime, a lot of things to get done, and I know you're going to work hard on it. So thank you so much for the time this morning. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.